All right. Good to have you here tonight. Welcome. Give me just a brief moment. I want to begin our recording of the desktop as well as the other video recording that we have going on. All right. Then we are ready to begin. This is our third session of the February of Logos Bible Software Training. So we have tonight and next week. Next week will be an afternoon, not a 6 p.m. We have a potluck dinner. So next week we will come back in here after the potluck dinner and have our fourth and final of the Logos training sessions next Sunday afternoon. All right, let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right back into the software. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for tonight and the blessing that we have to assemble together. We ask for your blessing upon our time. It's a practical class, Father, yet we're going to touch on the Bible and Bible themes and different topics. I pray for your hand of blessing upon our study. Thank you for this tool. Thank you for the equipping. We are so unworthy, and yet in our generation, Father, you have provided such tools, such a wealth of information available to each one of us. I just thank you for the privilege, and I pray that we would be humble and we would be productive with what you have supplied. We thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. I want to make sure we use tonight to kind of catch up on things that perhaps went too quickly in the last couple of weeks and follow along in a better fashion with the outline that we're going to follow with respect to this. We've covered how to load the program and whether it loads like this one with a blank page or whether it loads with a particular workspace. You know how to set that up in terms of your program settings. That's going to be listed here under at the very top one. At startup, open two. It's the very first option you come to. And if you do nothing else, you want to turn off your sounds and then you want to adjust your you want to adjust your startup. So at startup, open to, I like to open to a blank layout because I never know from day to day what I'm going to do as I load the software. I might be jumping into an Isaiah study, or I might be jumping into a Proverbs study, or I might just want to open up a basic Bible and start reading, or different things. Maybe I want to go to the home page. So my preference is to open to a blank layout. Also, the seventh item down there, play sounds, please turn that to no, so that when you're sitting in church and you first load the program, you don't get that little Logos jingle going when we're opening up in a word of prayer. Otherwise, the rest of those you can tweak as you prefer and so forth. This, by the way, is where I have the resource panel background as gray. I find that to be less taxing on the eyes. Program scaling and font size and all of that. Default resource text size, I put 120% as my default resource text size. Anyway, remember how to find program settings, and if you're like me, you're going to want to drag a button to the toolbar because that's a lot easier to find than coming over here to tools and then reminding yourself, okay, there it is. It's in the second to bottom of the left, the second to left column under utilities. Just go to drag that program settings button, click and drag it, put it up on the toolbar, and you won't have to hunt for it ever again. All right. Let that go. All right. For tonight, remember what we covered last week. We covered passage guides, exegetical guide, word study guide. Those are your three primary guides, your primary tools that you're going to use. There are other guides as well, including the people, places, and things that we want to start looking at, because those are going to be fun for your studies as well. But let's just remind ourselves of what we were dealing with. If we open up a Bible, remember how to open up a Bible? If you're like me, you've got your favorite Bible right there on the desktop, and that's one way to do it. On the toolbar, you can simply click the button there, and you've opened up your Bible. Or there's other ways. You can come up here to the command window and just type in NASB 95. That's another way to open it. Or here's another way. Just put in 1 Timothy 3:10 and press enter, and it will open up your Bible and your preferred Bible, your favorite Bible, and open that up and put it there. All right. I want to talk about, did you have any follow-up questions to what we dealt with last week in terms of passage guide, exegetical guide, word study guide? Do we need to review those again? Do you remember how to find those? There's different ways you get there. You can get there from your toolbar. You can get there from your menu under tools, all right? Actually, under guides. Passage guide, exegetical guide, Bible word study. There's also sermon starter and topic guide. All right, those are your guides. And they're on the menu there in the toolbar under guides. If you're not comfortable having them there, you can drag those to the toolbar as well. Put those on your toolbar if you'd like. Also, you can generate any guide from any verse. You can right-click on women from 1 Timothy 3:11. And there's a lot of things you can do with women. Okay, in the software. Dum-dum, yeah. All right, there's a lot of things you could do with women in the software, okay? You can simply select the actual selection there, the word women, and you've got a lot of options there on the left, including a word study, a topic guide, a sermon starter guide, power lookup, Wikipedia. A lot of things you can do with women there. You could also select the reference underneath it, in which case, now you've highlighted not just the word women, but the whole verse, 1 Timothy 3:11. And there's things you can do on the left with the reference being highlighted. All right? And I know I mentioned this last week, but I want to stress it again. You really have two menus there, a left column and a right column. You see that? And I got that by right-clicking a word in a verse. So let me escape out of that. I'm going to show you again here. Let's do deacons. Okay, I'm going to right-click deacons. And as I right-click deacons, I've got two columns there that pops up. This is called a context menu that pops up as a right-click. All right? But it's really multiple right-click menus because in those two columns, we've got what we're looking at here with this word deacons or this verse. All right? And in the column on the right is where you're going to select everything that's available to select with that selection, with that verse. So just because you right-clicked deacon, maybe you right-clicked the word deacons, maybe you right-clicked the whole selection of these men must also first be tested, maybe you selected the reference, maybe you selected the actual manuscript form of the word, maybe you selected the lemma, diakoneo, all right? Or the actual root behind diakoneo, diakonos, or maybe you want to focus on the morphology. You want to focus on the present active imperative verb, all right, or the Strong's number, or the Loewenida number, or the Loewenida lexicon entry, or the actual sense to serve as deacon. That's the sense for the verb. Or the person, and this is in the person, place, or time, or event guide. We're going to talk about those tonight. And then there's even a cultural concept. The cultural concept, this is new to Logos 6, cultural concept of church governance, church government, okay? Because there's a cultural concept that's embedded within this verse as well. I'm just going to go to the... And notice with each one of these... Whichever one I click on the right, the menu on the left changes. You see what changes on the left? Copy, lookup, copy, visual copy, lookup, search, this resource, search, open, power lookup. You notice that menu on the left changes every single time. There's different options that are available to you depending on what it is you're looking at. All right, so in this sense, I'm going to be looking at 1 Timothy 3:10, and I'm going to select a passage guide. And then what's going to happen is it's going to load a passage guide for 1 Timothy 3:10, and there it is. And we talked about this last week. I'm not going to reteach passage guide, but that's how I can get to passage guide from any verse of the Bible. All right, likewise, I can do an exegetical guide from every verse of the Bible. Other things that you can do. I think it would be useful tonight if we kind of learn how to navigate through a book. That maybe I should have done this 2 weeks ago, in which case I apologize. So Follow along with me, if you would. And this is going to hold true for any book, any Bible, any resource, different ways to navigate through. So I'm going to close my passage guide. I don't need that. I'm just going to leave my Bible open. All right, and I am currently in a passage, okay? 1 Timothy 3. And there's different ways to navigate through a book. First of all, I could just arrow down, and I can scroll. This is like flipping pages in your paper Bible, right? Page after page after page after page. That's kind of the slow way to do it. But maybe you want to, for whatever reason. But it's much faster if I'm going to go from 1 Timothy to the book of Ruth, all right? There's faster ways to get there. And really, you come up here to your navigation window, right in here where it says 1 Timothy 6:3, and just click in there, and then you can type Ruth, just Ruth, and that sends you to the beginning of the book. Okay? That's the quickest way to get to different places. Again, you click in that selection window and you type Romans 8. Okay, don't put a verse number after it. Just do Romans 8. Where is it going to send you? It's going to send you to the beginning of the chapter of Romans chapter 8. Again, you can click in there and you can type Romans 3 space 23. Or Romans 3.23. Or Romans 3:23. It's a pretty flexible program. I usually just do 3 space 23, enter, and there it is. You can do Romans, Rome. There's a lot of standard abbreviations. The software is pretty intuitive for what it accepts, what it doesn't accept. So that's probably the most common way to navigate. There's other ways to navigate, including the navigation bar there at the top. You see where right here it says Romans and it says chapter 3, and then you have up and down arrows over there. This is a useful tool, and it's not always activated. In fact, a lot of times I find that I have it turned off. I close that bar. And when I close that bar, I go, oh man, I want to open that bar again. It's here in your context menu for the book under Show Locator Bar. Goodness. It's in the button up here. Remember, this is a menu control button for that resource. A lot of things you can do with this control button for that resource. This is where you can link. This is where you can increase the font size. This is where you can show the locator bar, show the table of contents, show the interlinear pane, show the inline search. You can even have it read aloud to you, and it'll read you the verse. It'll just keep reading until you tell it to stop. This is where you print, if you want to print a Bible passage. This is where you can even organize into multiple columns if you prefer a multi-column format. Show footnotes, show reading view. Yes, it will read Greek to you. Anyway, you want to remember this button, and because every book you have in your library has a button there in the top left corner. Not just your Bibles, your encyclopedias, your dictionaries, they all have that control panel button on the top left corner of the resource. Also, you'll note, you'll start to learn the keyboard shortcuts that are listed in there, like show locator bar as Control-Shift-L, show table of contents as Control-Shift-C. This is another useful window, is Control-Shift-C is show table of contents. And you notice the table of contents shows up on the left. It opens up in a little panel. All right, there's your table of contents pane. Did we happen to brew any coffee tonight? Would you bless me, sir? Thank you. All right. And so the table of contents can be useful. That's another way to navigate. And so here you can see the order of the books, and you can see, you know, by book and by chapter. You can navigate by book and by chapter in your Bible entries. I usually don't don't have that open in Bible windows, but it's useful to have it open in Bible dictionaries, Bible encyclopedias, other resources. Okay? And it has a toggle button, too, by the way. If your locator bar is active on the top, then this little button here will be your toggle for your table of contents. So it's just another way to navigate. Thank you, sir. Other ways that you can navigate with that locator bar at the top include you can simply click the book number. You can, or the name of the book. You can arrow down. By the way, the up and down arrows are also adjustable. If you don't want to arrow down verse by verse, say that's kind of tedious, you can change it from verse to article, book, chapter, filter, highlight, annotation. There's a lot of things that you can key into those buttons there. So maybe you want to scroll by chapter instead of verse. Now a down arrow will take you to the next chapter instead of the next verse. Down arrow, now you're scrolling by chapter instead of scrolling by verse. I prefer to scroll by verse. So that's why I have my up and down arrows by verse. But however you study best, whatever you're most comfortable with. So different ways to navigate include the you can type it into the navigation window up top. Just type in a reference, 1 Peter 3. And remember, it's smarter than you are. If you type in 1 Peter 8, it's not going to send you to 1 Peter 8. It's smarter than you are. It knows that 1 Peter 5 is the highest chapter it can take you to. Anyway, that's a good way to navigate. Questions on that? You can type it in. You can scroll. You can go to the table of contents. You can use the locator bar. A lot of different ways to navigate through a book, a Bible or any other type of book. You would do the same thing if you opened up a Bible dictionary. Let's open up, say, Easton's. You should all have Easton's Bible Dictionary. So how would I open Easton's Bible Dictionary? I could go to the command bar at the top. I could just type in Easton's. And there it says resources, open Easton's Bible Dictionary. That's the fastest way to open Easton's Bible Dictionary, unless you have a toolbar button. So there's Easton's Bible Dictionary. What's another way to open up Easton's Bible Dictionary? I can do a Control L and open up my library. I can type in Easton's up here, and there's Easton's Bible Dictionary right there, and I can simply select that, and that'll open. But the shorter way to open it before opening my library is simply to come up here to the command box, and for most of your resources, you're able to open them that way. If you just start typing in the title. Okay? Or the author. That gets a little like with Geisler. Now you got a problem, okay? Because you might have a lot of Geisler resources. And there's the first five Geisler resources. Plus, I have a layout called Geisler Reading. That's a layout. If I do Geisler Systematic, now I've got four systematic theology volumes. Systematic 3. There we go. But do I really want to type Geisler Systematic 3 every time I want to open that book? You'll notice I have a Geisler button on my toolbar.
Can you do it by GSD?
Depends. It depends on how they've coded it. And different books are different. Geisler Sin is pretty close. Yeah, and that's you just got to play with that until you find the particular resources and how they're tagged and how they're labeled in the library. Okay. All right. So again, I'm going to open up Easton's just to give you a way to navigate. It opened it up to the article on rows. Why did it open up with the article on rows? Yeah, the last time I was reading Easton's Bible Dictionary, I was looking up the article on rose, all right? It remembers where I left off. Now, I don't remember looking up rose in the Easton's Bible Dictionary, but evidently I did back at some point. We can navigate the same way. There's a navigation window up here, and I can type in a topic. Maybe I want to type in deacon. And you'll notice it has an article for deacon and an article for deaconess that pops up there. Do you see that? So pick whichever one I want. Highlight it, hit enter, and there it takes me. So that's pretty much the fastest way to navigate through your books, to navigate through the resources. Again, there's a locator bar at the top with D and deacon. Here the up and down arrow is pegged to the article, probably the best in a Bible dictionary. You can open your table of contents there and see all your D's. You can see all the, you know, this is all collapsible and expandable. If you want to navigate that way, if you want to just alphabetically work your way through like you're flipping pages in a book, you can do that. Any questions on that? This, by the way, is a good use for a different set of links. And I tend to link my dictionaries with the D set. All right? I tend to link my dictionaries with the D set. If I link my Bibles with the A set and the B set under links... So there's the A set for the New American Standard Bible, and I'll open up a Greek New Testament, and I will link that with an A set. All right, and then I'll drag this down here. There we go. And then I want to look up sin. And I want to open up sin in one of my lexicons. Yes, sir? Yes. No. Any window that you have open can only have a single link. So, for example, I have my New American Standard Bible that's open to link A, but I will also, for example, open up a duplicate copy of the New American Standard Bible. I'll open up a second New American Standard Bible here, and I'm going to link this to link set B. And a lot of times, I will even open up a parallel Greek text, and I will link that under link set B. So now I have two New American Standards and two Greek New Testaments. They're linked A and B. And this becomes important. I'll show you why here in just a minute. Then over here, Easton's Bible Dictionary, I'm going to link that with a D. Because D reminds me, that's dictionary, all right? D are my D links. That's just me. You can do whatever you want to do, all right? And let's say I have Easton's Bible Dictionary, and I have the New Bible Dictionary, third edition. I want to link that, the link set D. And maybe I want to open up my... No, not that. What's another favorite Bible dictionary? I have ISBE. There's another one. Okay. And you notice it opened to the deacon article because that's what the other dictionaries are open to at the moment. I'm going to link that with a D. So now they're all going to follow each other. Remember, you want to link similar things with similar things. You don't want to link your Bible with your dictionary because your Bible is versified and your dictionary is topicified, okay? It is indexed by topic. Your dictionaries are indexed alphabetically by topic, as you see in the table of contents. You see, okay, we have Day of Christ, we have Deacon, we have Dead, we have Death Penalty, we have Decease, we have Dedicate. So the Bible dictionaries are indexed by topic. And so it's good to have other dictionaries or other things that are linked by topic. You can have those under the same link set and they will follow each other. All right? They will follow each other. So if I go here, notice I'm going to go from deacon to pastor. All right, I go from deacon to pastor. And what do you think happened to those other tabs? They're going to follow because they're linked together. New Bible Dictionary evidently doesn't have an article for pastor. Nope, he does not. So it didn't follow. Let me go back here. It only follows if it can. Right. So pastor, there it is. Let's see if Easton followed. Easton didn't have an article for pastor either. Okay, so it didn't follow either. Nope, it does not have an article for pastor. All right. Commentaries. Would I link a commentary with a Bible dictionary, or would I link a commentary with a Bible? With a Bible, right. Because commentaries are also versified. In other words, they're organized not by topic, they're organized by Genesis to Revelation, or they're in book and chapter and verse, right. This is where a topic guide will serve you well. Come up here to guide and open up a topic guide. And now I'm going to type pastor as a topic. Hit enter. Now this actually will save you time, because this will only list your dictionaries and your encyclopedias that have articles. It's not going to waste your time looking in the Easton's Bible Dictionary for the pastor article, because Easton's Bible Dictionary doesn't have a pastor's article. New Bible Dictionary doesn't have a pastor article. But when you pull up a topic guide for a pastor, it gives you this list, and it shows you your dictionaries and your Bible encyclopedias that have articles that are appropriate for that topic. And so you don't waste your time trying to look up a topic in a dictionary that doesn't have an article for that topic, as we did a moment ago, looking up, trying to look up to see if the links followed in those other Bible dictionaries. Does that make sense? All right. All right. So we have link sets. Let me show you some other helpful things. I think navigating through resources is important. Displaying resources is important. The shortcut bar, the command box, all of these things. We haven't done searching yet. We haven't done notes yet. We've got a whole lot more to cover. Let me show you why sometimes you want to have multiple books, multiple copies of the same book. I'm going to close all. How do you close all? You can type close all in the control window up there. Or if you have a close all button on your toolbar, that's the shortcut there also. All right. Let me open up a layout. Let me show you Isaiah layout. And you'll see the way in which I study based upon how the things lay out. And actually I might be confusing it, because this is a layout I typically do with multiple screens, so I've got multiple windows open here, including a fact book for Shebna. All right, now you'll notice this is a layout I like to use for different reasons. I've got two New American Standard Bibles side by side. My main one is the one on the left. My looker-upper window is the one on the right. What do I mean by a looker-upper window? All right, that's where I'm going to send all my search results to. That's where I'm going to scroll and read and look and bounce and so forth. I want to keep the one on the left, I want to keep that kind of static. So if I'm looking at Isaiah 22:15, thus says the Lord God of hosts, come to the steward, to Shebna, who is in charge of the royal household. And there might be things in there that I want to look at. And so as I highlight and as I click, if I find a cross-reference here to Shebna, and I've got all these verses here, all right, I want to leave that window static while I can look up these verses, either hovering over them or clicking them, And I want to use the window on the right as my looker upper window. Does that make sense? And so I have a basic study window and I have a looker upper window where I track down a lot of these verses that I'm looking up. And that will save you a lot of grief and so forth if you have a looker upper window. The way that you get a looker upper window, do you see that red bullseye Target symbol there? Like you're shopping at Target? All right. That happens when you go to your control panel, your resource control panel, and you select where it says here, send hyperlinks here. Send hyperlinks here. That's going to be huge. That means that if you select a verse, anything you click, if you're going to click one of these verses over here, Proverbs 13:7 or whatever, that's the window that's going to constantly be bouncing around. That's the window that's constantly going to be every reference you click. It's going to go there if it can, okay? If it's a Bible reference and so forth. That's why this one didn't move, but that one did. Does that make sense? Okay. So that Target, by the way, you can do the same thing with a search window. Send searches here. And you put a red Target bullseye on that search window. That's going to put every search in that window. Your next search will go there. Your search after that will go there. Your search after that will go there. And it will replace the search that was there before. And maybe you want to do that. Maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you want to have multiple search windows open at the same time. Then you make sure that you don't send search results here. All right. Yes, sir. Okay. I'll show you how to do that. I'm going to close all. I'm going to open up my New American Standard Bible. Now, there's a couple of different ways you can do this. I'm glad you asked. Keyboard shortcut is Control-Shift-N. Control-Shift-N. You just opened up a new copy of whatever book. And that's true of any book that you have open. Any resource, any book, Control-Shift-N opens a second copy of that book. Control-W closes it. Also, take a look just to the right of the name, New American Standard Bible 1995 Update. Do you see that? Yeah, there's an X and there's a plus sign, okay? If you do the X, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah, you're going to close your Bible, all right? So don't do that. Open it back up. But if you do a plus sign, this is quite interesting. This will actually show you your parallel resources, other resources that are of a similar kind. So if it's a Bible dictionary, it'll show you other Bible dictionaries. If it's a Bible, it'll show you other Bibles. If it's a commentary, it'll show you other commentaries. If it's a search result, it'll show you other search results. If it's a topic guide, it'll show you other kinds of guides, passage guide, exegetical guide, and so forth. So simply selecting that plus sign for a new tab, now you'll notice these are other resources that have Isaiah 22:15, right? Or whatever Bible passage you had open at the time, since that's the Bible passage that I had open. And so I've got, if I want, and it shows you, it highlights with the color bar there, it says, look, this is what you presently have open. Do you want a second one of those? Then click that. You got a second one of those. Maybe you don't want a second one of those. Maybe you want a Holman. Maybe you want a New King James. Maybe you want the Cambridge Paragraph Bible. Remember, and these are going to be listed based on the priority you listed them. We talked last week about prioritizing your top five Bibles, prioritizing your top five lexicons, your top five dictionaries. So this is actually quite useful if you want to open up other Bibles. And, you know, you can link them and do things like that. That little plus button is going to be very helpful for you. Yes, sir?
Do you link your similar Bible?
Usually. Uh-huh. Nope. Don't have to. Something else you can do. If all you have open right now is Isaiah 22:15, press the right arrow on your keyboard. Your right arrow on your keyboard. And notice what just happened. You're scrolling now through your top Bibles. And so I just went from the New American Standard to the Holman, because that was my second prioritized Bible. If I right arrow again, it's going to send me to the New King James. If I write arrow again, it's going to send me to the King James. If I write arrow again, it sends me to the Young's Literal Translation, because those are the prioritized Bibles that we did last week. So those are the left and right arrow buttons on your keyboard. We'll let you scroll through your top Bibles. All right? We'll do BKC. I'm going up here to my control window, and I'm doing BKC for Bible Knowledge Commentary. Hit enter, and it opens up to Isaiah 22:15. See how I did that? I open up my Bible Knowledge Commentary, and it opened up to the passage that I'm looking at in my New American Standard Bible. I can do the same thing here also. If I right arrow, look what happens with my right arrow. It just changed commentaries. It went to the next commentary on my preferred list. It went to, in this case, Through the Bible of J. Vernon McGee. If I left arrow, I'm back to Bible Knowledge Commentary. If I left arrow again, I'm going to go up to Tom Constable's. Okay? Left arrow again, I'm going to go to Matthew Poole's commentary. All right? And in all these commentaries, it's scrolling through, starting with your preferred list, and then going to the remainder after that. There's the New American Commentary. There's the commentary of the Old Testament. All right? And it's just with a left and right arrow scrolling through, and you can one by one by one, you can read every commentary you have on Isaiah 22:15. All right? And it's not going to waste your time opening up a commentary that doesn't have an article on Isaiah 22:15. It's not going to open up a commentary in the book of Daniel because you're looking at Isaiah 22:15. Again, I'm going to open up Easton's Bible Dictionary. Remember this article on deacon? You could do the same thing. You can left and right arrow in your Bible dictionaries. Left and right arrow in your dictionaries and encyclopedias. And so if I right arrow from Easton's Bible Dictionary, it sends me to the HarperCollins Bible Dictionary. Right arrow again, Dictionary of Christianity in America. Right arrow again, Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. All right? And it's just cycling through your dictionaries and encyclopedias. There's Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Dictionary, Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology. And every time it's cycling through my library, it's finding the next book on my shelf that has an article on deacon. And it's not wasting my time going to a resource if it doesn't have an article on deacon.
Okay, I missed something. How do you get the right and left arrow up there?
It's on your keyboard. Your right and left arrow on your keyboard. Have you opened Easton's Bible Dictionary? Open Easton's Bible Dictionary and pick an article. An article on any, it could be any article. I got deacon, but you can do an article on love. Okay. And then if you have the article on love that's displayed, then pressing the right arrow key on your keyboard should cycle you to your next Bible dictionary. And you can scroll left and right. You can just cycle through all your Bible dictionaries, including not just Bible dictionaries. You can actually encyclopedias and secular dictionaries and so forth. If there's a love entry, there's Harper Bible Dictionary, Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. It's better if you do. It's better if you have them prioritized because it will scroll in the prioritized order. And then once you get through the prioritized list, if say you've got your top five or whatever, once it goes through the prioritized list, then it'll just simply start going through the remainder of your library after that. Correct. So with Bibles, with Bible dictionaries, with commentaries, that left and right arrow on your keyboard is going to help you to scroll between your different... maybe you don't want to have a Holman Bible open. You just, for a brief moment, want to know what the Holman Bible says in that one verse. So you right arrow, you look at it, go, oh, okay. And then you left arrow and you go back to where you were. if they're prioritized that way, like I've got mine prioritized, New American Standard at the top, Holman right under that. New King James right under that. Old King James right after that. And so because I know the order that my Bibles are prioritized, then I can left and right scroll through these resources pretty quickly. Pretty quickly. All right? Does that make sense? That's very cool. Yes. Let me show you more coolness. I have a button on my toolbar up here called Show Text Comparison. And you may also want to drag a button on your toolbar called Show Text Comparison. You're going to find it under Tools, and you're going to find it under, I'm going to hunt for it now. In the third column over, the fourth one down, you've got Copy Bible Verses, Explorer, Passage Analysis, and Text Comparison. Do you see it there? Drag that. Click and drag that and throw it up on your toolbar. Because you're probably going to use it more frequently. So now, it's on my toolbar. I want to see a text comparison for any verse. Okay? Text comparison for, and I don't mind. Do you want to switch, get out of Isaiah? Are we okay with Isaiah? Do you have a better verse you want to look at tonight?
Micah 6:8.
All right. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That's a good translation. All right. But now I want to compare Bible versions. Okay, so now I'm going to come up here, and because I dragged that button, Show Text Comparison, it's going to open it up on the right-hand side, Show Text Comparison. Now, this is where we can start to create lists of Bibles, lists of our favorite Bibles, lists that we want to just compare all the time. Typically speaking, maybe I want to compare, here's a good list. Here's a list of five Bibles I want to compare. And it will remember these as you set these up. All right? So under the reference of Micah 6:8, just type in here. If you want to type in here, just start typing in your favorite Bibles. NASB 95, comma, space, HCSB, or Holman Christian Standard Bible, comma, space, New King James, NKJV, comma, space. All right, if you want to just stop with that as our teaching illustration tonight, stop with that. So we'll do NASB 95, comma, space, HCSB, comma, space, NK, there we go, enter. NKJV, enter, all right? And now when I hit enter, now I've got a comparison. You realize you can custom have a comparison Bible of any version you want. If it's in your library, you can make it a comparison. You could even put paraphrases up there, like The Message. You can put the Living Bible up in there. You can put a Greek Bible in there if you want. Put a Spanish Bible in there if you want. What does the LBLA, how does that read? And maybe I just want to have an interlinear English-Spanish Bible. So I'll take out the Holman. And all I've got now is a NASB and LBLA. Él te ha declarado, oh hombre, lo que es bueno. All right? And so maybe a Swahili Bible, if you've got someone in the church that's struggling with their English, or what have you, okay? You can create your own parallel Bible window there, and it shows up on the right as a default. You can move it around or pop it out, but I don't mind it on the right where it comes by default, and that's your text comparison. Yes, sir? Oh, yeah. I've got French, Dutch, German. I've got a lot of European languages. I've got Russian. I've got Ukrainian. Yeah. You probably have it. It might already be in your library. If not, you can download it from logos.com. Yep. So the text comparison is going to be useful. There's other things you can do with a text comparison too, by the way. Different things that you can do with the control button there. I don't do a ton with it, but you can customize that window. For example, if I want to do an NASB 95 and a Holman. Now you'll notice I've got some of those words are highlighted, like mankind, and, it is, requires. And what I've asked the software to do is to show me the differences. To use the first one as a base text, and then to highlight the differences. Now you might like that, that might bug you to tears. Okay, so when I come up here to the control button, I'm going to deselect show differences. Now I just have the verses to look at. The show differences is very useful if you're looking at two Greek texts. If you're looking at a Nestle text and a Hodges text, for example, show differences really helps because it highlights with a color highlight there where the text differences show up. Is that coolness? More coolness? There is a caret in the top left corner next to text comparison, and that's your control button. That's your control panel menu. And there again, you can make the text larger, text smaller. You can do a link set there. I prefer the automatic layout. And then there's show differences. You see that? And then if you have show differences selected, you can also select show base text. And that actually inserts the base text from the New American Standard Bible, inserts it down within the Holman translation with a little, you know, grayed out and crossed out. And so you could actually see, yeah, if that floats your boat. Okay? Yes, sir. Nope, it should show up, YLT. Deselect that and deselect that. Right. And by the way, the your recent selections are all going to be here at the top. So I can come up here. I can go back to my favorite. You can even do top Bibles. There you go. And that will take the list from your prioritized list. And you're saying that Young's doesn't show up here? There it is. YLT. You might have to scroll down. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Anyway, the text comparison is useful. You may prefer that at a glance than having all these Bibles constantly open all the time and linked. If all you want to do is just kind of very quickly scan down and see how the different translations handle it, and then exit, you know, click it off, and you're back to your normal layout again. All right. We still have to do documents. We have 10 minutes remaining. Let's start with some documents. I've got a Bible open to Micah 6:8. And I want to open a document. I want to make a note file because I'm studying whatever. Okay? So I'm going to come up here to documents. Now, this is where we got an awful lot of choices. Okay? But the first one we're going to do is notes. And it's your fourth option on that list. Notes. And I'm going to make a new note file. You can do the same thing with me here tonight. Just select new notes. You see how I did that? All right. And now I'm going to start adding notes in my study of Micah 6:8. First of all, it's untitled. First thing I want to do is give it a title. So I'm going to edit this text. I'm going to call it Genius Notes in Micah. Enter. And now I've got a note file called Genius Notes in Micah. And I decide, okay, that's a bit prideful. I'm going to edit that, and I'm going to change it to Moderately Bright Notes on Micah. All right, there we go. That's more humble. Okay? Point is, it doesn't matter what you name these notes, but as long as you remember it, as long as it, you look at that in your list of notes and go, oh, okay, there we are. All right? And you'll note, it changes it on your the top menu there. It's the tab. The resource tab is labeled. And now you're ready to add a note. Okay? And you got some genius note you're going to add here on Micah 6:8. And there's, in fact, we could have a whole class on adding notes and keeping notes and so forth. But I just want to make a note here on this, and I'm gonna highlight walk humbly. I'm gonna click and I'm gonna drag. There we go. And I just highlighted the text to walk humbly. And now I'm gonna right click that. Oops, to walk humbly. And I'm going to add a note to Moderately Bright Notes on Micah. And I just added my first note. You see how it shows up there? And it's highlighted the text to walk humbly from Micah 6:8. It even dates it for me. So this is a new feature, by the way. I didn't used to date them and annotate them that way. But now the notes are giving you a record of when you added this note. And I'm going to put a comment here. I'm going to say, to walk humbly, to walk humbly, to walk humbly. And I might add a note, remind myself to study this on Monday. That's my note. Okay? And all it is, it's a note to myself. It's a note. And there it is. All right? And it's highlighted there. It's highlighted in Micah 6:8. And actually, it's highlighted on that particular text within Micah 6:8. It's not highlighting the verse itself. That's a difference. If I open up a Holman on Micah 6:8, it's not there. Okay? Now, if I want to tag the verse itself, I can do that. I can do that. But when I do that, instead of highlighting a word or a phrase, I want to select the reference, Micah 6:8. You see the difference there? And when I do the reference, Micah 6:8, and I add a note to Moderately Bright Notes on Micah, now I've got a second note in my note file. And one of those notes is attached to the, see right there, one of those notes is attached to the phrase, to walk humbly, and the other note is up here attached to the verse itself. Is attached to the verse itself. And that becomes huge. All right, so now this is my second note. This is my note on the verse itself. The second note, or the first note, is simply my note on the phrase to walk humbly. And so all the annotations on all of these notes in this note file are kept separately. They're kept independently. Does that make sense? Now, if I attach the note to the verse itself, then it doesn't matter what Bible is open. If I have a Holman Christian Standard Bible that's open, there's a note attached to Micah 6:8. If I have a Bible Knowledge Commentary open, there's a note attached to Micah 6:8. Because I've actually attached the note to the reference, Micah 6:8. And when that reference is there, that note will be there. That note will be there. Which I think is kind of cool. Anyway, there's a lot more to do with notes. Notes are a document that you're going to open in your documents menu. There are also clippings, handouts, bibliography, passage list, prayer list, reading plan. Those are all documents that you create yourself in your Bible software. Those are all listed under documents. All right, if you want to delete moderately bright notes on Micah, go up to documents, and then on the right, you have all your recent documents, probably including moderately bright notes on Micah. It won't duplicate those lists, so the one when I had it under a previous name, Genius Notes or whatever, it renamed that. But come over here to moderately bright notes on Micah, right-click, and delete. All right, and it's gone. Everything in that file is gone. It didn't even ask you, are you sure? All right, well, be careful with that. I just lost a whole lot of work on my Genius Notes of Micah. No, not really. All right, you don't have to save any note file, automatically saved. And it's also automatically deleted. If you right-click and delete it, it's gone. And everything in that file is gone. Okay, 30 seconds remaining. We'll do more with this. I think the notes are good to play with, they're good to make use of. Reading plans, prayer lists, all those are very customizable and very useful. Very useful, and as you create those reading plans and prayer lists, they're going to show up on your homepage. They're going to show up, for example, if you come up here to the home button, then I've got a prayer list called Church Bulletin Prayer List. I've got a prayer list called Family Prayers. I've got Bible reading called 5 Days on Spiritual Growth. I've got another, let's see. Scroll down. I created another Bible reading plan called Teach the Bible in 1,000 Sessions, which I'm not really going to read it that way. I just wanted to see what happens if I chop up the Bible into 1,000 bits. What does it come out to? Slightly less than a chapter per reading. Anyway, you could do a lot of those things. Bible reading plans, prayer lists, they show up on your homepage there. But those are documents that you create yourself under documents. Also, clippings. Sometimes you don't want a full-scale note plan. You just want a post-it note. You want a sticky note. That's what clippings are good for. All right, and I have a clipping document called Things That Catch My Eye. And so I might come over here to Tribe, and I want to add a clipping of Tribe to Things That Catch My Eye. You can do that with your clippings. Or add a note to Wednesday Morning Sessions. That's my default note in the Wednesday morning training that I do with Lewis and Dan. All right. Is your head spinning? It's a lot to swallow. You're drinking from a fire hose, I know. But we've had 3 sessions from this, and hopefully you've seen more of the Gee Whiz value. You've seen more. You've learned something tonight. And you can always go back and rewatch these things. I highlight for you the last thing here before we dismiss. Logos gave us a free gift the other day. Mike pointed this out for me. And it's in your library. You can get to it from library. You can get to it from the command bar. And it's called Open Quick. What was it called? Quick Start? There it is. I just typed Open and Quick. And there's an Ultimate Quick Start Guide. But then there's also Quick Start for Logos Bible Software V6. If you type Open Quick, you should see the Quick Start for Logos Bible Software version 6. And press Enter. That's going to load for you. This is a new resource, and this resource contains a lot of training videos. All right? A welcome, a desktop overview, a home, a prayer, a reading, a preferred, all these things. I haven't even taught you how to make a preferred Bible yet, how to choose and access your preferred Bible. Well, this video from Morris Proctor Seminars will show you how to choose, access, and view your preferred Bible. How, you know, maybe you don't want the New American Standard Bible. You want to study out of the New King James or whatever. This will show you how to do that. You can just click play, and the video will come up. You have Logos 6? It might be an update that you'll need to get. Okay. It might come as an update. Mike's arrived and mine arrived as an update. All right. Well, I'm going to close that down. That's Morris, by the way. That's Morris Proctor. We've had him here before. We need to bring him back. All right. Before I melt your brain, let's go ahead and stop. We'll have our final session next week. And if we stop now, you'll have a short break before we come back for Geisler. Thank you, Father, for tonight. Thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.